Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
There is one pain that you and I can experience that he cannot redeem.
Here's Kim Meter on Focus on the Family Minute.
One. And that's the pain that we choose to not give him. And that's just pain that destroys. And that's walking through that valley of the shadow of darkness and sitting down in the middle and camping out and living in pain and grief and suffering. And we were never called to do that. He says, don't you know I'm with you, walking with you step for step. Jesus Christ's love and hope and joy and peace is not the light at the end of the tunnel. He is the light in that black place.
Well, that's so true.
Appreciate leading that. Us through, but we've got to choose to trust him.
Surrender your pain to God and trust his love. More from Kim at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Hey, Paso Robles, it's Jimmy Purdy with Shifting Gears Auto Repair, and it's time to smooth out your ride. With all the road repairs happening around town, your suspension and alignment might be taking a beating. So bring your vehicle down to Shifting Gears Auto Repair at 1621 North River Road. Our expert technicians will give your suspension and alignment a thorough checkup to keep you driving comfortably and safely. Don't let those bumpy roads ruin your ride. Schedule your next appointment today at 805-238-6202 or online at shiftinggears805.com.
Hi, I'm Ronelle Baldwin, president and founder of Dignified Hope Care. We have been in the business providing care since 2016. We solely provide licensed caregiving and nursing services for seniors across the Central Coast. We serve Paso Robles to Orchid and out to Cambria. We specialize in individualized care specifically tailored to meet our patients' needs like personal hygiene, medication reminding, transfer assistance, clinical care services, client advocacy, and so much more. Unlike other senior in-home care services in our area, Dignified Hope Care is the only company that solely uses EMTs, CNAs, and medical assistants for professional caregiving to individual patients one-on-one in-home and facilities across the two counties we serve. Many clients call not sure if this is the time for care, but it is no cost to receive a complimentary assessment. Feel free to call us at 805-510-1234 or go to dignifiedhopecare.com.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. Once upon a time, there was a magical fruit tree. And as one might expect of such a tree, it bore magical berries and magical seeds. In dark centuries past, African nomads used the tiny fruit as their sole ration on long desert journeys. And yet it was the Turks who discovered the tree's true magic in a drink, an exotic, mysterious elixir that one day would shake the European continent to its core, a beverage from the tree of knowledge, whether good or evil, was not officially resolved for most of 100 years. The drink and what became of it is the rest of the story. For the followers of Muhammad, the elixir from a certain magical fruit tree was to replace wine. Some say Arabian merchants discovered the beverage in an ancient kingdom and brought it home. That would have been during the 14th century. By the middle of the 15th century, the drink had spread from Yemen to Mecca, on to Aleppo and Baghdad, to Cairo and Damascus. During the 16th century, the strange and wonderful potion found its way to Europe. An incredible controversy was about to begin. Talk of mystical powers created a sensation. And it did seem to be more than talk. People gained inexplicable strength after partaking of this beverage. Curiously, it appeared to restore victims of shock and to restore victims of poisoning to perfect health. Then came the doctors. Whether or not the drink was truly magical was of little consequence because people were beginning to treat themselves without the supervision of a physician, and to the doctors that was bad, so the medical community closed ranks and sought to prohibit the general availability of this marvelous potion. Doctors alone would prescribe and distribute it when the time was indicated and for handsome fees. And yet no sooner had the physicians of antiquity decided to restrict the elixir than the church tried to ban it altogether. Amid cries of witchcraft, the beverage became known as the drink of infidels. To consume it was to flirt with the devil himself, for indeed, there was no telling what a man might do under its influence. As always with suppression, popularity increased, and the sale of wine dropped off proportionately. That made the winemakers upset. How could they be expected to compete with this narcotic? By now, the magic drink had become a favorite topic of philosophy and poetry, though it would not be truly acceptable until 1592, when Pope Clement VIII officially pronounced it fit for Christian consumption, and he did so because he'd learned to like it. Once upon a time in the dim and distant past, there was a magical fruit tree, and what men made from it was a potion both sacred and profane. And the drink once thought to have mystical powers, because it made weak men strong and the sleeping to wake, the strong medicine of long ago physicians, the witch's brew, deemed taboo by the church, until the Pope himself got hooked on it. That magical elixir is with us still. And we call it now what they called it then, coffee. Only now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today I have Aaron Lugaluso.
You're doing great.
In the studio, we are talking about an assault. She was a Pismo Beach police officer in December 2022, on the 23rd of December, and she went to a call of a theft at the Seacrest Hotel. Someone had broken into a room and stole a couple's laptop and a phone, and oddly, pooped in a towel and smeared some feces. Very disgusting. The manager of the hotel came in and said, "We have a guy causing trouble down where people are eating breakfast outside looking at onto the ocean." So she went down and saw someone that she had met before, Sean Deletri. And I'm probably crucifying the name. Now, this is a former NBA player. He's 6'5". He's 250 pounds or 240 pounds. She's 5'3" and 140 pounds. She goes because he's around families and children and aggravating people. She goes to ask him to move away so she can cuff him. And he assaults her. He beats her head into a wall for some time. And then she gets her taser out and he grabs her taser. And that's where we left off at the end of this, the last segment. She is now, they are now both have their hands on the taser. What happens now?
I refuse to take my hands or my eyes off the taser because I didn't want him to have control of it, over it. He, because he's obviously stronger than me, pulls it into him. He's on the ground on his stomach. He pulls it into him like it's tucked underneath him, but I still have my hands on it. At that time, I hear a man come up to my left side, which would be the right side of Mr. Delatry, and I hear, Aaron, it's me, Jeff. But I'm not going to look because I'm focused on the taser.
Who would Jeff be?
I didn't know it at the time, but Jeff would be my police chief, Jeff Smith. But I could not look, and I have never in my life called my chief Jeff. That would be disrespectful. He was always Chief Smith, sir. But he was just trying to be helpful and my savior at the time. And he was trying to get control over that arm on that side, which he did. He was fighting to get control of that arm. He just happened to coincidentally be there at that hotel with his family that morning. Again, another divine intervention. So with him grabbing at that arm, I was able to get control of my taser. In that struggle, I forgot to mention, the taser did deploy. And with the echo on the concrete and the stucco wall, it sounded like a gunshot. So people were calling 911 thinking I had been shot. One of the hotel managers actually thought I had been shot, and he was full of fight. Like, the bravery of that man, I commend him.
What did he do?
He was just in there with all he had trying to help me. And you're talking about a civilian that doesn't have the training that we do.
So he's on the ground with your arm stuck underneath him. The chief is trying to pull his other arm off. Where is the hotel manager?
So you got to think, he doesn't have the tactical training that we have. He's standing over Mr. Delatry trying to pull him up and off of this dog pile. But, you know, he's in, and he, you know, people pull and grab, you know, they don't do ground fighting training like we do. But he's trying, where everybody else is just watching or getting out their phones. You know, there's
so lots of phone videos were made that day.
I only know of one, but yeah, he was trying. That's the point, you know, when a lot of people were just staring and doing nothing. And then the other managers making phone calls and yelling and trying to help. And I'm yelling at people, kick him, hit him, do something, please help. Because this man is strong. So I'm able to get the taser. So since the cartridge had been deployed, I strip it. And I do what's called a drive stun. So basically, I'm applying it directly to his back and tasing him without a cartridge. So okay. It's a direct impact stun.
Did that slow him down?
Yes, he let out a squeal. And at that point, I am handing some civilian or the chief, I don't know, because I have sketchy memories. A lot of the information that I'm giving you is what I have watched from body cam video to put pieces together because of my concussion and my head injury. So I'm handing off handcuffs from my duty belt to people because I'm controlling him with my taser. I'm literally, because he's still fighting and resisting. My chief injured his hand. That's how strong this man is and big. So, and of course, because of all the 911 calls and my radio transmission, the Calgary had arrived at this point. And I have blood dripping down my face and I'm smelling the feces all over my face and body, my nose, my mouth. Feces had been scratched into the skin of my face.
And I've seen the pictures. Your face is very bloody.
And the pictures that you saw was after Cal Fire had cleaned me up with saline and alcohol. So you saw the cleaned up version.
It still looks pretty rough.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. And it's rough to look at my face in the mirror without makeup because I see the scars. And then I think about the feces.
And so the chief injures his hand. Now, he ended up eventually getting surgery, correct?
Yes. He had tears. I can't remember if it was tendons or what, but he had injuries requiring surgery, yes.
So So the chief has injuries requiring surgery. And can you describe your injuries?
Yes. Initially, I was diagnosed with a concussion, which obviously I had a concussion. Later, through an MRI, it was seen in the FLAIR studies that I have a brain injury to my left temporal lobe. I have, I had basically a whiplash to my neck, and I have damage to 4 discs in my neck. I had scrapes, scratches, bruises all over my body, and I had a tear to the left PCL in my knee that could not be surgically repaired because it was too close to my femoral artery. And then I have, in my nose, my turbinate along my septum is collapsed. So it always sounds like I have a stuffy nose.
Oh, can they go in and fix that at some point?
It can be, but Workman's Comp has denied that. Workman's Comp has pretty much denied everything. And I have PTSD. Most first responders have PTSD because it's a work injury. But I was in remission, and that, of course, has been triggered because of the feces and the assault itself brought me out of remission.
And so now let's get back. So they obviously arrest him.
Yes.
How long does he spend in jail before he gets out on bail?
He bailed himself out within maybe 3 hours, I think they said.
So he's assaulted you. He has caused damage to a second officer. And he
gets a chief.
A chief. And he only gets 3 hours. What was his bail set at?
I have no idea. But I know our bail schedules these days are not much.
And again, for those that weren't listening earlier, this is not a homeless man. This is a Cal Poly graduate. He was an NBA player. His name is Sean Delatre, or Tree. And he travels the world. His social media shows he's regularly in. Is he in another country now?
I don't know. I haven't looked in a while, but I know a week before the original sentencing, he was in Puerto Vallarta, according to his social media. I check it not because I'm obsessed with him. I don't want anybody to get a misinterpretation of that. I check it for my safety, because he could be anywhere. In my retirement, because of my PTSD injury, I have been denied a CCW endorsement. So even though part of my training and experience is as a rangemaster firearm instructor, and I've taught in multiple academies firearm shooting fundamentals and safety, I am not allowed to carry a concealed firearm, even though I'm more qualified than anybody. I've never been a danger to myself or others. I've never had suicidal ideations. My PTSD has to do with nightmares from what happened to me. Simple as that. Nothing more.
And with you're having seizures.
Yes.
You had a brain injury.
Yes.
You can't work when you're having seizures.
Correct.
You're even worried about your driver's license.
Yes, I've only had 4 seizures, but there's a possibility at some point I could lose my driver's license, which would be the ultimate freedom taken away from me and independence.
We're going to have a word from our sponsors and be back with more with Aaron.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Claman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Wall Street Thursday, the Dow closed 32 points higher, but two of the indices, which both had record closing numbers yesterday, today had their worst day in weeks. The S&P 500 dropped 364 points, or nearly 2% of its value. NASDAQ down 49 points. Despite the report from the government that inflation moderated for the third straight month in June, consumer prices declined 0.1% from May to June, 3% higher from last year. First-time claims for unemployment benefits fell by 17,000 last week to their lowest level in nearly 2 months. Mary Daly, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank in San Francisco, says she expects further easing in both price pressures and the labor market to warrant an interest rate cut. Dollar General agreeing to a $12 million settlement with the Labor Department that will require safety investments in their stores nationwide. For the Fox Business Network, I'm Jack Callahan, invested in you.
If you had $1 million in 2009, today it would be worth less than $700,000. Thank you, big government. Hedge against runaway inflation with gold from Birch Gold Group. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold. I trust Birch Gold, and you can too.
Text the word SHELTER to the number 989898 and get a free, no-obligation info kit on gold. Text SHELTER to 989898 today.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
This Friday at Vintage Community Templeton, clean comedian Dennis Gaxiola brings his unique, edgy, and family-friendly comedy to the North County.
I have a real mixed family. My nephew's Mexican and Jewish. He wants to get a car, but he's not sure if he should steal it or buy it wholesale.
Bring a chair, picnic, or purchase tacos and beverages at the event. Dennis Gaxiola, this Friday, 6:30 p.m. at 690 Peterson Ranch Road in Templeton. A great night of laughs and family fun. Admission and parking are free.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecue tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons, and I'm going to give you another quick recap. I have Erin Lagoluso. She is in the studio. She is a former Pismo Beach police officer. We are discussing a violent assault that happened on December 23rd, 2022. And we've described the assault. She was attacked by John De Latre. This is a 6'5", 245-pound gentleman. She is a 5'3", 140-pound female. She was severely beaten. She has not been able to work since. She had severe head injuries. And here's part of the problem with what has happened here. And this is one of the reasons that she is on the show today. This man was arrested. And when probation said, we want this guy to get a 5-year...
4 months.
4-month penalty... The district attorney on the case decided that they're going to give him a 1-year plea agreement where he'll be sentenced to 1 year in jail, and he will likely serve about 5.5 months based on the new rules. So you have a chief of police who had to have a surgery regarding the assault. Erin can no longer work in law enforcement, and right now she's concerned about losing her driver's license because of a seizure disorder. I did talk to the DA's office, and they said, you know, well, the chief had his surgery a year afterwards, and, you know, the injuries, we can't prove how bad, you know, the injuries are not, because they're brain injuries, they're hard to prove how bad things are from that. I want to tell you a quick story, and this is my personal life. When my daughter Autumn was in junior high school, there was a accident where they were playing soccer on a field during PE, a field with no grass, completely hard, and another child accidentally, this was not purposeful, kicked her foot out from under her, and she went headfirst into the ground. By the end of the PE class, she was blind in one eye. And she told her teacher, I can't see and I don't feel good. They sent her to the office. They eventually, I was teaching a class. They were calling me at the wrong place. And they actually dropped her off. She was in junior high. They dropped her off at the house. I got home and she said, Mom, I had a head injury. They took me to a doctor, then brought me home. And at the time, I didn't know how bad it was. It would be literally about 5 years before she began having serious grand mal seizures, to the point where she could never drive a car, she could never have a job, and she was in the bathroom, had a seizure, and she did die. So, at the time, right after this, I just sued for the medical bills. I think I received $16,000 to cover our side of the medical bills. They at the time told me, well, it's just a head injury. You don't have, because it's a head injury, there isn't the proof of a real bad injury. And I honestly didn't believe it was, I didn't think she was going to die from this. I had no idea how bad these head injuries can be. And again, you have a chief of police who waited a year. He hurt his hand. He did not realize that it was going to end up needing surgery. And so one of the issues here is that these types of injuries, you can't tell how bad they are. And that is part of the reason they're looking at the guy because of the feces. Maybe he has mental illness, maybe this. But how do you feel that this man, for what he did and the life-changing event, is only going to get half a year in jail?
I feel I have a life sentence. My children have a life sentence. Dealing with my life sentence, I feel that I think the biggest telltale slap in my face was when I read my victim impact statement of what I'm going through. He was snickering and making faces like this is a joke. My feelings were a joke when he has held this whole judicial process hostage, making delays. Oh, I can't do that date because I'm having dental work. Well, that's really nice that you can afford that, because I can't.
And so this is a man who is a thief, but actually can travel and live a fairly nice life.
Yes.
And they did find other... Am I correct that when they searched his belongings, they found, like, he had robbed the Madonna Inn, he had robbed rooms at multiple hotels in the area?
So there was evidence of stolen property from multiple other places. There was also business cards from other hotels, Lighthouse Inn Suites. He clearly has a thing with hotels. We had to trespass him from inn at the pier. This is his thing, going to hotels in the area, whether stealing things. I think that's how he keeps up his facade. He has an ego, he has an arrogance. I don't think sitting at our college town jail is what's going to fix that. I think a serious incarceration in a prison is. I don't necessarily think he needs 5 years, 4 months. I am not irrational. I am not unreasonable. I think between the probation report and the plea deal, we can negotiate somewhere in the middle. I am not unreasonable.
And again, you can't go back to work.
No, I can't.
And You're not getting your full salary. You're getting, how much of what you made before are you making now?
So what CalPERS does with a disability retirement is they take your three highest earned years, they average it out, and you get half of that tax-free. But you also, I mean, sounds good, whatever, but it's not my full pension. And you also have to keep in mind, I have four children, but two of them are still dependents. One of them is a dependent forever because I have a disabled child. So I'm not going to be able to afford my son going to college. I'm not going to be able to afford weddings for my kids. There's things that I wanted to do for my kids that was the reason I was working. I'm never going to be able to promote to sergeant. I'm never going to be able to reach those 5 and 10 year goals. And it's not, and I don't want to say it's just poor me, poor me, poor me. It's just his 5.5 months in jail does not rectify that for me.
Did he have any other histories of violent assault?
He did. When I brought that up to the DDA, her response was, it's only a misdemeanor domestic violence. I became a police officer because I am a domestic violence survivor. So you never say whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor, that it's only a misdemeanor, because the courage it takes for any victim of any violent crime to call 911 or to seek out help, you don't say only a misdemeanor. But yes, he has a domestic violence past.
And I will tell you, I know how hard it is to get convictions. If you look at right now, I know I talk about Ryan Wright a lot. He is sitting in a federal jail on bribery and corruption and fraud charges. But he keeps trying to get out of jail. And they brought up, well, you have a history of beating women. Oh, no, no, no. I was only charged with one thing one time, and that's the only woman I beat. He put three or four other women in the hospital. The problem was the women would be a little nervous. They wouldn't go after them. They would, you know, even though there was evidence that there, you know, there's somebody in a hospital. They have a head injury. And sometimes I have seen people that are severely beaten and it ends up being a misdemeanor charge. There's no rhyme or reason sometimes. And I'll give you another example. There was a man walking down the street on meth in SLO, and there was a garage door open. He walked in and grabbed a bike and drove away. That's what he did. But there were people in the house, and they considered that a robbery of an occupied structure. He got 7 years in jail. And that's why some people are concerned when you have a bike thief getting 7 years in jail, and a hotel thief who also beat someone, assaulted a chief police, assaulted an officer, and he gets 1 year in jail.
There's an inequity. But I think here a big picture is if, and this is my problem, it's not that I have an entitlement to a certain amount of justice. I am wearing a victim hat all of a sudden. So now I have to ask a question with this plea deal. What has happened to my victims and my cases that I have turned over to the DA's office? That's the big question. That's the thing that's keeping me up at night now, besides the feces.
And I absolutely agree with you. I don't know what it is. Let's look at the Paul Flores case. They had one young woman in high school claim that he and another boy drugged and raped her. They decided the victim couldn't remember a whole lot because she had been drinking. Well, she said she had a beer or two and they had put something in it. There are woman after woman after woman over the years have said, I was at a bar, I had a beer, and then I woke up being abused at his home. And law enforcement would take it to the DA's office, but over and over and over again, there would be no charges. The DA in LA, even though three women, or two or three women, wanted charges filed this last go around when they found the, he made videos of women with ball gags in their mouths being sodomized. He videotaped the attacks. The women said, I did not agree to that. In the end, the DA said, you know, you were drinking and you don't remember everything and maybe you consented. So there were no charges on these crimes.
I have a list of my favorite of our district attorney's office rejection reasons. Would you like to hear them?
Yes.
If there's no witnesses, if it's just a domestic violence with just the couple, insufficient evidence because there were no witnesses. Best in the interest of justice. We have one particular DDA that will not file charges if the suspect is a female. I don't know if you want me to name drop on that one.
No, go ahead.
Let's see if I butcher her name. Mija Thiesmeyer. And the other one, which I'd really like to know what it means, lacks jury appeal. I didn't know that when a crime occurs, we have to have appeal to the jury.
Now, you're speaking as one officer. Have other officers told you that they're also upset about prosecutions in this county?
It's all we talk about over coffee. When police officers start complaining that they're not getting subpoenas, rather than I have too many subpoenas on my days off, there is a big red flag with your district attorney's office. However, no employed police officer will talk to you because there is a fear of retaliation from their department. But I am retired, so I got my freedom of speech back.
So how long have people, is this been going on for decades or
no.
Is this something new?
This, I would say this all started right around 2020. We all started grumbling when we started writing tickets for warrants, especially when we would have to write 16 tickets and doing dash 13, meaning it was the 13th time we were writing a ticket for the same warrant.
And I don't understand what this means. Could you describe?
Sure.
Why do you write a ticket for a warrant? I need more information.
And I'm sure everybody is wondering that. So when COVID hit, they didn't want people in jail because of COVID, right? So for warrants, that means somebody needs to go to jail for failing to appear on a case in court, right? It's a reason to arrest somebody. Must go directly to jail. Do not pass go. So when COVID hit, we were ordered to write a ticket. It's a brand new promise to appear. So a judge would put out an active warrant for someone. When we contact someone out on the street and they have an active warrant today, we write them a new promise to appear, which is a ticket, just like what you get when you get pulled over for in traffic for running a red light or failing to stop at a stop sign.
You don't pick them up if you have an arrest warrant for them?
Only if it's like a felony warrant or it says no site warrant, which no site means cannot write a ticket, must go to jail. But if it's a citable warrant and they have failed to appear 16 times for the same warrant, at the end of the case number, which is the warrant number, you write a dash 16.
So
our job is futile.
The judges are telling you, you don't go to jail, you're going to be arrested, but it really doesn't mean that. It means you're going to get a ticket.
Correct. So there's a lot of distrust with communities, civilians, with the police. But the police, law enforcement, are doing what they're told. And please don't think that law enforcement is liking what they're being told to do. Law enforcement has families that they have to support.
And I've been a reporter for a long time, and a lot of my sources in the past have been law enforcement. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and I'll be back with more with Aaron.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Hi, I'm glad you could make it.
Wow, your house looks amazing.
Thanks. We just had our whole house painted by Peak Painting. They even refinished all of our cabinets.
They did a beautiful job. I really like the colors.
They had their in-house designer help me with my color selection. The whole process was so easy. You should have them do a free estimate at your house. Just go to peakpainting.com to book an appointment. That's peakpainting.com.
I'm pulling it up on my phone right now.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peakpainting.com.
Painting services come with a 9-year labor and materials warranty. Some exclusions apply. Contact peakpainting.com for details. That's Peak Painting, peakpainting.com. Rich London, the mattress specialist. Tell me what shoppers will find at your store.
Well, I've got regular flat beds from twin size to king size. And then, of course, I've got adjustable beds where the bases go up and down so it's easier to get out of bed. You don't have to worry about acid reflux or if you have snoring problems or if you have bad circulation in your legs. All those things are benefits that the adjustable bases can give you.
The mattress specialist, 13th and Riverside, Paso Robles.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Barry from Cambria says, quote, Bill's presentation was great. He displayed an admirable depth of technical understanding of the system he was presenting. It was a pleasant experience. Thank you, Barry, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing 47 years of admirable displays of technical understanding. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners, it's time to schedule your solar panel cleaning. Spring and summer are maximum solar energy production seasons. Dirty panels can decrease production by 20% or more. Make sure your panels produce the most energy and save you the most money. Visit solarponics.com to get your solar panel cleaning quote. While you're at it, ask us about battery backup and storage. Get more out of your solar energy system. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Bailey. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. And today we've been talking with former Pismo Beach police officer Aaron Logaluso. I keep saying that wrong every time. Anyway.
No, you're great. You're great.
And she had a violent assault back in December 23rd, 2022. In which she can no longer work. She was injured. She received a brain injury and multiple other injuries. The chief was also injured. He had to have surgery on his hand. It's been kind of, there was, probation wanted to give the man 5 years and 4 months in jail. But instead, the DA's office has made a deal for 1 year in jail. What has happened in the court trials, the hearings that you've been to so far?
Pretty much they all just get continued, but in the last one, I read my victim impact statement, which, as I mentioned, he basically mocked me. The public defender made a plea for Mr. Delatry that he couldn't be remanded and he needed more time because his short incarceration was stressful for him and his daughter to be separated, and he needed to get his affairs in order.
So the concern was that he needed some time, and I will tell you, this man looks like just a normal person in the community. He has a girlfriend and a child. They travel internationally on a regular basis. He does not look like the person that you would think would be robbing hotels and beating police officers up, and has a little bit higher lifestyle than that. So then what happened?
I was internally frothing. I'm thinking, you had a year and a half to prepare for this. then he was trying to put it off to August. And so I started breathing really heavily to draw and let it be known. Then the judge let me know, and prosecution let me know, that all of my requests were denied, such as him submitting to communicable disease testing because I had the feces put in my face. She said that it was not appropriate in this case. It's only appropriate for sexual assault cases.
So the judge denied the request?
Yes. The judge also denied my request for his passport to be surrendered. I felt that was appropriate because of his globetrotting. The judge also denied, pardon me, I have to look at my notes.
And when was this hearing?
It was July 3rd.
Okay.
I had to put on my glasses. Sorry, my eyes.
And did the judge did not give a sentencing? She just took his plea agreement. Did he plead guilty or no contest?
So the DDA offered this plea deal a long time ago without consulting with me, which is a violation of my victim rights. It was just offered. And that's another concern that I have for victims past, present, and future. I am an officer, so I'm aware of that process. Our civilian victims might not necessarily read the Marcy's Law packets that we give them or even fully comprehend them. They might not be utilizing victim witness. We have resources out there, but they might not have the ability to utilize them as they're available. The other thing that I asked for was to renegotiate the plea deal, of course. That was denied. I also asked for it to be thrown out. That was denied. And instead, he was given more time. And his public defender made a comment about one of the things that I said in my victim impact statement that I felt was very disrespectful.
And who is this public defender?
I don't know his my memory.
Okay.
He's a ginger like me, but lighter.
Okay. I don't know. And so what didn't he like in your public impact statement?
My guesstimate on how much time he would actually spend because of the Gavin Newsom good time credit, the halftime.
Yeah.
Because it's a 1-year sentence in jail, but the halftime credit, and then there's like a couple day credit because of something else. So it actually ends up being 5.5 months, like you mentioned. And I think what I guesstimated it, because jails have different policies, and his strike offense and his guilty offenses, because in a plea deal, other charges get thrown out. And the reclassification of crime under Gavin Newsom, which I don't know how many of your listeners follow that stuff. None of his booking charges really are violent crimes. So when jails release people, and sometimes they release people early, they look at the classification of crime.
And one of the things wasn't a booking charge, but one of the things that he has pled guilty to, I was told, was a strike.
Yes, but it's burglary, not a violent crime. So, and that's the thing the DA's office keeps saying. Well, if he messes up again, he has that strike charge. Well, why are we sitting and waiting for him to hurt somebody again or do something again? Why aren't we focusing on prevention? Because he has hurt someone in the past. It's called a domestic violence charge. So I'm seeing a propensity of violence towards women. But apparently the DA's office is not.
And was he even charged for assaulting you?
It was battery on a police officer. Frankly, with a concussion, even though it was elevated to the TBI, the traumatic brain injury, a concussion is enough for a GBI enhancement, which is a great bodily injury enhancement. But the prosecutor refused to do it. That was one of my complaints that I made in my formal complaint, that from day one, she refused to receive my medical updates as they came in from imaging and specialists. She refused to receive them, and she refused to discuss or accept and add a GBI enhancement.
And why do you think she refused?
She didn't want to go to a trial. She historically does plea deals. Trials are work. And our county likes to use plea deals to manipulate conviction ratings because it makes them look good. But the dangerous thing about plea deals is you're dropping charges to get guilty pleas to some charges. So you're further victimizing your victims and your community because you're negotiating with criminals.
And so you have the next hearing is July 24th, the sentencing, but I have seen judges give, I've more than once, and I'll give you an example, Kelly Gerhart. He went in and they had a plea deal. I can't remember what it was for. I think the judge added multiple years on the plea deal. The attorney for Kelly Gerhart was shocked. I was stunned at the time. And it can happen. So the judge does have some discretion on the 24th, correct?
Yes. If it happens, I will call it another divine intervention. And again, I am not shooting for the 5 years and 4 months. I am hoping and would be grateful for something in between. I am not unreasonable. I do think a prison sentence is warranted. A jail sentence is way too comfortable.
I personally do not believe when you lay hands on a police officer, it needs to be a stronger penalty, because this is a person, they know that you're the one that is there to keep the law. He knows that he stole, you know, he burglarized that hotel room. And he knew you were a police officer, you were in uniform.
Yes.
And the fact that he grabbed for your gun, you know, yes. And what do you, there are also the argument, well, she forgot her gun that day, she did something wrong. Do you think that should have any impact on the penalty he gets?
The only violation that I did was forgot a piece of equipment. That's the only policy violation I committed. I forgot a piece of equipment.
And do you believe that should have any impact on the sentencing?
Well, the only change it would be if I had my gun is I might be dead.
I want to thank you very, very much for telling your story to our listeners today.
Thank you.
And we'll get back with you after this hearing happens.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I will be back on Wednesday and Thursdays. Thank you for listening.
This hour of Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply, serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.